Super Bayern Podcast, the Robert Lewandowski of podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern Podcast. It's been a busy few weeks for Bayern Munich, who have won four consecutive matches since we last spoke, outscoring their opponents 16-1 across those games. The Bavarians look to have overcome their early season dip in form, but will the club's latest signings be enough to keep them on top this campaign? I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to talk about all of those games and more with my friends Garrett Kerber.
Hello, hello.
And Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
Well, like I said, Bayern have really turned it around since that loss to Hoffenheim several weeks ago. They've won four consecutive games, just smashing everyone during that time. And maybe the first two against FC Düren in the DFB Pokal and then in the Bundesliga against Arminia Bielefeld aren't necessarily the most impressive. But today's win over Eintracht Frankfurt and then the win earlier this week against Atletico Madrid definitely stand out among the two. So I guess we'll kind of be focusing on them. The last time that we talked, Bayern had just completed a flurry of signings to end the transfer window, and we kind of talked about how it was a mixed bag of signings, a couple ones that we were excited about, a couple that we weren't so excited about. But Sebastian, I'll go ahead and come to you. Across these past four games, now that we've gotten to see some of the signings get in there and play, how are you feeling? Has anyone really stood out and impressed you, or just what stands out about them so far?
I think the interesting things I realized is first that Roca kind of didn't have as huge an impact as some of the other guys. I think we have been talking about this, or we talked about this, I think, last time, that many of us, I think, thought that Roca would have the biggest impact, at least in the long run. But yeah, for now, yeah, we haven't really seen much of Roca. We saw the most of him in the Düren game, and yeah, that's a very different kind of game from what you would normally see. And there were so many young players who we don't really expect to play at all for Bayern this season. So this was kind of an outlier, this game, and we cannot really draw many conclusions from that one. But other than that, I really feel like Flick is making those signings look very, very good. It looks like we really got a lot of good players here, which, yeah, we didn't completely think so before the season actually started, or before they actually started to play for Bayern. We were pretty skeptical. I think that these were players that would be very good on the field. I mean, we all agreed that they're good deals, but we were really not totally excited about those guys. But I feel like pretty much all of them have looked pretty good on the field. And yeah, for me, that is, for one thing, thanks to Flick. And probably, yeah, I would also assume that they really had a clear idea what they wanted, even if they didn't get their actual favorites here. It's really a bit hard to pick one of those players who's like the most important, or the one who has looked the best, I think. So what I will do is I will talk about what I found, I guess, the most surprising, and that's Bonassar, I feel, because he really looked pretty decent from my perspective. No problem there. He looked like a very good right back for me. Really no complaints from my side here. I mean, we saw, I think, how much was it, like 15 minutes or maybe 20 minutes in the Atletico game. That was a tough game, of course. I mean, Bayern looked very good in this one, but yeah, that's not a weak opponent by any means. So definitely a tough task for a player who comes here with, on the one hand, a lot of experience, but not really a lot of experience on this level. So yeah, I'm pretty impressed by him. And we also, of course, got, like, I think, the complete match from him against Eintracht earlier today. So, yeah, really, really impressed by that guy. That looked really good, and I hope he can keep this up. No terrible mistakes or anything on the right side. That would be pretty good, because I think he's definitely in a position to get a lot of games if he plays well. I think I cannot really say that so easily about, like, for Douglas Costa, for example, because, nobody expects him to replace Leroy Sané anytime soon, or to replace Serge Gnabry anytime soon, and not to replace this Kingsley Coman anytime soon, like he has been playing. So, just to take this example, I could say the same about Choupo-Moting and Lewandowski, of course, and so on. Same is true for Roca. So Sar is probably the one, if he's going to play well, he's actually going to get a lot of games. And yeah, so this is actually way more exciting than I would have believed.
Yeah, that's exactly who I would have brought up as well. And it's interesting that Tim isn't here, because I think when we last spoke, Tim was really negative about this signing. So hopefully, Tim, you're listening and maybe regretting what you said a little bit. But yeah, Sebastian, you're right. He started two matches today and then also in the Durin game. And he played very well in both. He got an assist in both. So he got an assist again today, even though obviously Leroy Sané did all of the hard work for that. But it's really exciting because he does offer a completely different profile from what we get with Benjamin Pavard. He offers so much more going forward. He's obviously, you know, Pavard, I'm not going to say is slow by any means, but Sar is just much quicker as a right back. He's definitely more offensively minded. So if nothing else, you know, this isn't a transfer that is going to, you know, light the Bundesliga on fire. But if nothing else, it gives Hansi Flick options as to how he wants to set up this team. And so far, it seems like it's paying off. Garrett, I don't know if you had anything to add to that, the conversation about the new signings.
I actually have been a lot more surprised at how much I've appreciated the Choupo-Moting signing, just simply because we're seeing Robert Lewandowski come off the field more. And it's been really interesting because in the past, you know, Lewandowski would have two goals with 70 minutes gone by, and it's the game's 4-0, and yet it seems like he's the one of the last ones to get taken off. And so I'm really excited about the fact that with Choupo-Moting, Flick seems comfortable just removing Lewandowski and really kind of getting him that rest that he's going to need in this season. That, as weird as last season is, this season might be almost as weird in that there's just so many games just coming so rapidly. So I'm really excited that not only is Flick confident in him, but that he's also actually played pretty well in the time that he has gotten in relief of Lewandowski. He seems like he's happy to be here. He seems like he's going to fit that backup striker role like absolutely perfectly. And so that's a really encouraging signing. I think even with Douglas Costa, his attitude seems a lot more like he's not expecting to come in and be an every match starter and, you know, get loads of minutes every. It just feels like everybody's kind of happy where they are. Obviously, they're going to be pushing for more, and they're going to try to, you know, make it hard on Flick to decide who's the best 11, but it doesn't seem like there's anybody that's in there trying to upset the apple cart, so to speak, you know. And so that's really encouraging. And I think that it's what we've seen these past two matches, or really, you know, since I guess the Pokal match, it's just that it seems like Bayern have kind of shaken off that early season. I don't know. You can't say rust, because it wasn't that long that they weren't playing, but it just kind of this malaise of trying to get back into the groove of things after winning a treble and winning all the trophies that you can win.
Right.
It was just really good. It's just been really good to see them all kind of gelling and inspired on all cylinders.
I think you make an excellent point about all the new signings wanting to be here. I think that's huge, because Bayern is very much, even on another level from pretty much every club in Europe, is a team, right? Bayern has always had this team identity. It's not been just one player, even when we do have Robert Lewandowski, who would have taken home the Ballon d'Or this year if they had held it. Bayern still won the Champions League as a team. They weren't carried by one individual. And I think that the new signings recognize that, and that's part of why they want to be here. Even Douglas Costa, like you said, who left on maybe not the worst, but definitely not the best terms when he went to Juventus, is back. And it's kind of obvious he loved Munich. He maybe did some growing over the past few years and came back very excited. So, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, and even like look at the fact that, and we'll talk about Davies in another way, but the fact that he hadn't really played much at all this season, and he's coming off one of the best, a real breakout season. You know, people are talking about him as being the best left back in the world, and yet he's not getting a ton of minutes to start the season, and everybody's cool with it. At least that's the public perception. We're not hearing anything about how awful it is. You're seeing guys like Jamal Musiala playing more, and a 17-year-old kid, what's he accomplished, and yet he's getting minutes with this Bayern club. I just think that like everything that we've loved about Bayern in the past, as much as we talk about FC Hollywood and all that stuff, I think a lot of us as fans are just, we like the fact that even when we do make a splash as far as transfers go, it's guys that they want to be here. And we typically, with the exception of a few, we've typically signed players that kind of have that, excuse the expression, Bayern DNA. And I think that that's just really on full display here. And again, it just kind of comes back to like Flick too, in that he's just done a masterful job in pushing all the right buttons. So it's an exciting time right now, and it has been for a few months now.
Garrett, you mentioned a name that Tim's obviously not able to join us for this episode, but when he told me he wouldn't be able to make it, one thing he did say is that all he would do is pretty much talk about Jamal Musiala and how great he has been. And so you brought up his name. That gives us a good point of transition into that. But what stands out to me the most about him, we've talked about all these new signings that Bayern have made, and it's really great that the club has this depth, that Hansi Flick has a full squad that he can dig into. And I guess the slight worry that some people had about signing these new names, a guy like Douglas Costa, is that it might mean some of the younger guys don't get playing time. And yet we're seeing still Jamal Musiala get some game time. He's, he scored again today. He's been really excellent when he came on. So, Sebastian, a couple things, how much should we be praising Flick for this, for not only relying on the new guys, but also still getting the young guys some time? And then also, the more we see of Jamal Musiala, the more it seems like he's the real deal. So do you think maybe, and I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but we might have another Alphonso Davies type of player in terms of a hidden gem on our hands.
I definitely love that Flick is still finding ways to use those young guys. I just hope it's going to continue that way, because I'm not sure how easy it's going to be. There are going to be a lot of games in a short time over basically most of the season. So probably if there is a season where you can comfortably do that, it's probably this one. But yeah, I'm just a little bit skeptical that is going to work out that well without anyone, getting the short end of the stick, basically. Like Xerxes, for example. So I definitely think there's a big possibility of seeing alone in the winter here and there. I definitely can see that. But yeah, it looks like Musiala is definitely the winner among the young guys. Davies has not been getting as many minutes as probably all of us would have thought early in this season. So he's definitely not a winner here. Xerxes is not a winner either. So yeah, Musiala definitely is the guy winning out for so far. And yeah, he's been looking very good, I think. It is a bit interesting. He, in a strange way, I guess, he kind of reminds me of a young Thomas Müller, because yeah, he's also has that kind of very special body language. Let's put it this way, I guess, right? So maybe in a weird way, that's kind of like Thomas Müller. I feel it looks slightly awkward, but also very effective. Has a strange, a special kind of elegance to it. I would even say. So yeah, maybe this makes him even more of an option to be the eventual successor for Thomas Müller. We're going to have to see about that, of course. But yeah, that's definitely tough. Definitely very tough to achieve to actually replace a guy like Thomas Müller. But yeah, that could be the vision for him. So far, he's looking pretty good. I mean, it has only been a couple of games. We should not get ahead of ourselves here. It is not like he's not even on the Cirque level yet. I would say Cirque has had a relatively speaking a lot of games and a lot of goals. So yeah, and I really hope he will be on that level soon. And then, of course, the ideal would be. Being a rising star like Alphonso Davies, but yeah, we can only hope, of course. But for now, I'm very, very optimistic. This is looking very good, and yeah, I mean, it is pretty clear by now. I would say that Hansi Flick definitely is the guy to develop a player like him to be able to put him in the situations he needs to be put in where he can be effective, find his spot here, because. Even more so than other players who often change positions, which, I mean, this has been something that Bayern has been doing very heavily under Flick anyway. But Musiala, for example, when he played on the left against, it was against Düren, I believe, was it? Mm-hmm. I believe so. He was drifting to the middle a whole lot. So it doesn't really look like a winger to me. He really looks more like a guy for the middle. And we're going to have to see how that develops. Is he going to be really the guy who's going to play on the number 10, like kind of like Thomas Müller? Or yeah, I think it is a complicated thing because while Thomas Müller is often depicted as the number 10, it's strictly speaking not really a number 10, as we have pointed out earlier. So yeah, we're going to have to see if this is going to be his role, or is he going to be a more standard kind of number 10, or is he going to be on the wing or whatever? I think Hansi Flick and him, Musiala himself are just finding out what works for him. So yeah, that's going to be very interesting. That much I can say, at least.
I guess the sort of long-term hope for me, and I think we may have talked about this a little bit before, is that Jamal Musiala is sort of like our Kai Havertz. You know, we missed out on Havertz this summer. Well, maybe it's not such a big deal because we have Musiala, who is obviously still a long way off from him, but maybe we have someone kind of turning into the long-term Thomas Müller replacement, like you kind of said. But we brought up Alphonso Davies' name a little bit today, but let's go ahead and talk about him, Garrett, because first of all, he hasn't played a lot this season. He sort of had a bench role, mostly due to various small kind of nagging injuries and fatigue. He has dropped form a little bit even, as Hansi Flick said, but today he started against Frankfurt and then was basically immediately pulled out of the match after suffering an ankle injury. It looks like he's going to be gone for 6 to 8 weeks, which is quite a long time given the busyness of this season's schedule, Garrett. So how big of a blow do you think this injury is? Obviously not as big, I would say, as it would have been last season, but still we're losing a big player in Davies. And so how do you think Flick is going to be able to make it through this? What changes maybe will he be making?
Yeah, I mean, you're gutted for him first of all, because I mean that was the first thing. I finally got the stream of the game to load, and the very first thing I see is you know, Alphonso Davies, you know, being looked at, and it's like, oh, great, wonderful start to the morning, you know. And but I think, you know, on his side of things, first of all, I think that this is going to be a really key moment in his career, just being so young and having so much success last season to now be dealing with so much adversity now. Not that he's never dealt with adversity before, but since he's now come into kind of his stardom, how he comes back from an injury that keeps him out for a real long time is going to be real key. And fortunately, I think he's got the players around him and the coach and just the club around him to really be able to handle this really well. So I'm not too worried about it. From Bayern's perspective going forward, I think, you know, we're just going to see a lot more of Luca Hernandez on the left and at left back, which we had been kind of anyway. So in that regard, it probably doesn't change a whole lot. I could possibly see that maybe they would move Alaba back out left and have Hernandez in the middle at center back. I don't know. It just kind of depends. I mean, I guess they got some options in as far as who they want to put out there, but it's probably going to be one of those two. I'm not sure if they would want to. You know, Chris Richards has played right back, and it's not like they're identical. It's not like you can just switch sides super easy, but maybe they try him there in a pinch, and they just kind of get some different players some game time there. But I would say probably the keep it simple version is you're playing Lucas Hernandez and David Alaba at left back, and maybe rotating them and getting more. We might just see more pairings of Sula and Boateng, or maybe even Richards at center back. And, you know, he's just going to have to kind of piece it together for a little while. But I mean, I think we kind of expected that there'd be some sort of a rotation anyway, given all the games.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unfortunate that now you're losing, you know, one of the better left backs in the world over the past year.
Right. I don't think you mentioned this, but with Tanguy Nianzou out, we could be even seeing Benjamin Pavard step in and play some center back now that we have Buna Sarr to step in and play on the right, and we know that he's a capable option. But Sebastian, talking about David Alaba, has in the past four games, has he stepped up, in your opinion? Has he sort of improved, or is he sort of in that lull that we said that he's kind of been in for several months now, I guess, that coincides with his whole contract negotiation situation?
I guess I would say that's still too close to call, to use a bit of language we are going to hear a lot in the very near future, when there's going to be an election where you guys are. Yeah, I'm not quite sure yet. I think in some of those games, he has been, in for some parts of those games at least, he has been looking better. If I would have to answer that now, and basically, say either yes or no, I would say, yeah, it's more kind of looking like a yes. It looks like he has improved, but I'm still not completely convinced if that's the case. It could still fall apart again. I feel he has just not done enough to completely convince me that this problematic situation with him is over. I hope he's going to continue like this in the next couple of games, and then I feel like it's fine again. Yeah, I don't know. I really hope this is going to stabilize. Otherwise, this is going to be another big issue for us, especially with Davies out, because that means someone obviously is going to have to play on the left who's not Alphonso Davies. So this is a bit more problematic, everything there. So yeah, I really don't know. I really hope he's going to improve. And obviously, I also hope that this contract situation is just going to be fixed one way or another, because this is really getting frustrating for everyone, I think. And I don't know. I don't know why this is still a thing even, because, I don't get the strategy. I don't really get the strategy of his side of this whole situation, basically. So it is really frustrating. If I were Hansi Flick, I would probably have taken him off the field and not even have given him as many chances to improve, because, as it is now, we still have a number of center backs, even if it might get a bit problematic in the future. So as long as we had Davies, I would probably have taken him off for a game or so, just to, maybe give him some time to think, maybe make him realize that he's basically not pulling his weight right now, and that he can't continue doing this. So he's not going to get kind of special treatment because he hasn't signed a new contract yet or something like that. But yeah, Flick has taken a different approach with him, and I totally respect that. Of course, he knows his job. I mean, I don't have to tell you guys that Hansi Flick obviously knows his job, so right. Probably slightly better than I do. So
maybe a little.
just a very tiny little bit there. But yeah, so I'm ready to trust him there, and I think, yeah, Flick is probably also going to fix David Alaba.
I thought he looked a lot better today than he has. I mean, I think we're definitely seeing some signs of improvement. I think the fact that he and Boateng both looked real solid today against, you know, a really good attacking group that Eintracht Frankfurt has, with, you know, Andre Silva and Kamada. And you know, I just think that we're starting to kind of see them get their wits about them a little bit. And I don't think that we would expect anything super flashy with those two at this point in their careers. And with everything going on with Alaba, I think that we're going to continue to see his contract situation kind of play a role in how he's playing this season, at least for the first half of this year. We've kicked around ideas on his whole thing, so I'm not going to do that. But I do think that we're starting to kind of see him to be able to kind of put it off to the side and play. And so I'm not worried about it at this point. I'm willing to be patient. And like you said, Sebastian, I trust Flick, you know, immensely. And so I'm going to guess that, you know, the way he's handling this, especially, I mean, just either, you know, behind closed doors, you know, out in the public where we can see it, all these things, I think he's just going to do it the right way. He seems like the kind of manager that knows how to, A, motivate players, but B, also, like, tell them when they're wrong or in the wrong, or he's disappointed in them, but not do it in a way that makes them feel like they've just been given up on. And so I think that might be kind of what he's trying to do with him. And I totally expect Alaba and Boateng, for that matter, to continue to improve back to some semblance of the top of their game, however high that is at this point in their careers.
Yeah, I think it's probably a good sign that a lot of the news about Alaba's contract has gone quiet over recent weeks. So hopefully that's something that'll be resolved soon. But let's talk a little bit, at least, about the midweek game. Because Bayern, you know, beating a Bundesliga side usually is kind of expected, but beating a team like Atletico Madrid in the Champions League 4-0, that's quite a big deal, especially since Bayern again set the record for the most consecutive wins in the Champions League. But Sebastian, you briefly mentioned Kingsley Coman's name earlier, and this is someone that we've, in the recent months, talked about. He looks like he's starting to turn a corner, especially after scoring the Champions League final game winner. But on Wednesday, he was undoubtedly man of the match, the best player in the Champions League this week. Based on what we saw today and also in the other games leading up to this, do you think that we're finally getting to the point where Kingsley Coman can be trusted to start a match and you know, play at the level that we know that he can? And then also, what do you think this is sort of a result of? Did his Champions League goal just do that much for his confidence? Maybe Hansi Flick is speaking to him, or maybe even, you know, Leroy Sané, Douglas Costa coming in has sort of motivated him to work on getting that final ball down, work on his finishing, work on his crossing, and really take his game to the next level.
Yeah, I think I'm not totally convinced it has to do a lot with work, with actually working on stuff, because for me it really feels like that mental thing that I think you're also kind of hinting at here. Just to give a bit more context, I think we have to say that on the other hand, the Bielefeld game wasn't exactly brilliant from him, but also we would have to remember, I feel, that late in the Champions League campaign last year, there were also a number of pretty good games from him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do agree that this feels like, I mean, for me, it doesn't feel like basically completely like he's a completely different player now. It's more like this is the next step, right? I feel like some of his games last season, that this was one step in the right direction, and this for me feels like, or maybe, I don't know, maybe Champions League final is another step in itself, maybe, I don't know, but this feels like the next step to me, because this was really impressive, and he really looked, well, mentality-wise, he really looked more confident. Not, I would, even without seeing him actually scoring, or without seeing the actual situations where he did something great, I'm pretty sure you could tell from just a random 2 minutes of this game that there is something different about this player, that he looks more confident in kind of everything he does now, and I really hope he can keep this up. It is weird, because this really looked like a situation where I think most people would have said, okay, this might be the end of Kingsley Coman at Bayern München. Actually, I think people, yeah, did not really count on him stepping up like he has stepped up. Now, I really hope this continues, because then this team is going to be really hard to beat, with basically three wingers on that level, and then pretty good Douglas Costa to add to that. So this could definitely be great for Bayern. And yeah, it's going to be tough for Hansi Flick to really find a lineup with Gnabry and Sané and him then. Because, well, if Kingsley Coman plays like that, he's kind of the first one you would have to put on the field. So this is weird. This is new. But yeah, I definitely like it. And I think, yeah, he really looks like a changed player. So if nothing bad happens, I mean, yeah, we would have to mention that, I guess. We don't know if this carries over, if he gets injured again or something like that. I really don't want to jinx it here, but just being honest and being circumspect about this, this could happen. And then I don't know if he was going to be still going to be this new Kingsley Coman, or if this is going to be, yeah, a huge problem for him. I don't know. I really hope this doesn't happen. I hope, yeah, he stays healthy. He plays like that, and then everything's going to be fine for everyone.
How long is this the longest he's been healthy?
Yeah,
since his injury. So I mean, like that's got to be a huge,
right,
huge aspect of his turn in form. I mean, like you said, Sebastian, there's been several games where he showed kind of some glimpses again, but then you figure there was all that layoff time from, you know, the pandemic pause, and then he comes back, and the first, I mean, maybe it wasn't the first game, but the first game I can remember, all of a sudden it was like, oh, you're starting the Champions League final. And it's like, you know, that has to boost your confidence that, you know, the manager trusts you enough to come in and to put you in over Ivan Perisic, who, you know, at the time was doing so much for the team. I think that, and then obviously to get the goal against your old club, like all sorts of things. I think he's just flying high right now. And again, I think this kind of goes back to the way that every player on this Bayern squad seems to want to be here. You know, even after they got beat by Hoffenheim, like nobody dropped their heads or started complaining about, like, well, you know, this is the problem or anything. They just kind of got back to work. And I think he's really done well for himself to kind of just keep his head down and keep working. And yeah, I mean, he's starting to kind of show what we had hoped we'd see, you know, 2 years ago. And it's really, Bayern are just, you know, mm-hmm. It's an embarrassment of riches at this point.
Well, and so, yeah, the injury, I think, obviously plays, or the lack of injuries plays a big role. I wasn't even thinking about that. But I think, like a lot of things at Bayern, I think we can point a lot of the credit towards Hansi Flick. I mean, we're talking about a team that in 2020 has only not won two competitive games, right? One was a draw against RB Leipzig, and then losing to Hoffenheim. I mean, this Bayern team's just on another level right now. And Kingsley Coman, like you said, Sebastian, it's not only is he finishing with complete calm and precision like he did against Atletico, his second goal especially was phenomenal. Not only are his crosses, even with his weak foot, going directly where he's wanting them. Like today, he should have had an assist when Lucas Hernandez blasted the ball over the goal. But just everything he does, you can tell this is a more confident player. This is someone who's sure of his abilities. Someone who, you know, just feels like he belongs on this team, that he deserves a starting spot. And I would even go so far as to say that right now, given, you know, various injuries and stuff, I don't see any reason to take him out of the starting 11 when it comes to the big games. I mean, he's been about that good over the past few weeks. So hopefully he keeps it up. Hopefully the injuries don't take him down a little bit. But yeah, it's nice to see for sure. Oh, well, there's just one final thing we have to talk about before we wrap this episode up, and that is that Robert Lewandowski has set another record. I know everyone's surprised, obviously, but 10 goals in his first 5 Bundesliga matches. He breaks the record, which he tied last year, of 9 goals in his first 5 Bundesliga matches. And so, Garrett, I'm obviously coming to you. This is your guy, but earlier you talked about the Choupo-Moting signing. Do you think that Lewandowski, having that break, having Choupo-Moting coming in, has sort of, you know, led to him being reinvigorated, leading to him, or has led to him being able to give 100% every time he steps on the pitch? Or is this just, you know, Robert Lewandowski is just that good?
Yeah, it's just Robert Lewandowski doing Robert Lewandowski things. And I think the winning the Champions League was a huge weight off his shoulders, but it also helped him kind of relax a little bit. And then even to the point where I was kind of making the comment that, like, he's really playing poorly in these first few matches. I mean, as far as Robert Lewandowski goes, and I think you, Ben, were saying that I was the reason he was doing so poorly because I wasn't believing in him. But then I switched it around. I was like, no, he can do it. He can do it. And now he's setting records again. So I think, it's almost like, I think he needs to, I think he just has really bought in to what Bayern are trying to do. I think that's a huge thing. And I think we've been seeing that for the last, you know, year or so. And I also think that I think that having that guy behind him wouldn't have been such a help had he not bought in, if that makes sense. In the past, you know, we've talked about it before, like, would Robert Lewandowski even, you know, be okay with having a real solid backup that was coming in for him fairly frequently? And, you know, we even saw today, I think after the match, he said something about, you know, like, he didn't mind coming off so early because, you know, he had gotten 3 goals and now he can power up more for the next match. And I think that newish Lewandowski of being just an amazing part of an amazing team and not just so much the focal point. Because I was even thinking today, I think maybe one of the stronger points of the team, or maybe the area of the field that really makes this Bayern team work, is that midfield of Kimmich, Goretzka, and Müller, more so than even Lewandowski. And I think that he's just reaping the benefits because he is such a clinical finisher. He's getting service from everywhere, and so he's just pretty much being able to pick his spots. And now that he's kind of re-honed he's recalibrated and he's hitting shots instead of, you know, I think it was, you know, the first few matches of this season, it seemed like he was skying shots over the net and things like that. But he's recalibrated. He's ready to go. And now he might be well rested. So look out, world.
I'm glad you brought up that midfield because, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but every time we talk about Robert Lewandowski, it's just my instinct to talk about Thomas Müller as well, because I feel like everyone who's on the outside looking in sees Lewandowski and they're like, oh yeah, he's the best in the world. And Müller hardly ever gets the credit. And so maybe we're going to kind of end the podcast with a really hot take here, but I would even go so far as to say that Müller and Lewandowski as a combo is more iconic, better for Bayern than Arjen Robben and Frank Ribery. right? I know that that may be a little bit inflammatory for some, but honestly, I'd rather have those two and you can pair some other wingers with them than have Arjen Robben and Frank Ribery and, you know, put whoever you want in the middle. So that's my hot take. Lewandowski and Muller is better than Robbery.
And to be fair, I think Thomas Muller loves that he's not getting the credit that he, I think he's just the type of player that just, he loves kind of being in the background and, sure. and pumping other guys' tires and, but all the while, you know, he's the fuel there. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I could really say, give a good rebuttal to that. Cause I think Thomas Muller has just been, he really has. I mean, since he's come in and been able to play centrally, I mean, what haven't they accomplished? And I mean, what, they've lost like three matches in that time.
And,
so.
And he set the Bundesliga single season assist record. So, I mean,
yeah. And he's racking them up already too.
Right. Absolutely. And just to go back really quickly, what you said, you know, just check out his Twitter. If you haven't seen Thomas Muller's Twitter, because like Garrett said, he's really the ultimate team player. He just wants everyone else to get the credit and he's there just to have a good time, just to be Thomas Muller.
We need more Thomas Mullers in the world.
Absolutely. Especially in the world of professional sports. But but that's all the time that we have for this one. If you've enjoyed listening or if you are a regular fan of the podcast and you haven't done this already, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We would greatly appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with us, there are a couple ways that you can do that. You can either email us at superbyronpod@gmail.com or you can follow us on Twitter at superbyronpod and keep up to date with us there. All of our episodes can be found wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends and we'll talk to you next time.